Accession number 754, Mr. Rose, Reel 1.
Began by talking about loyalty and patriotism and the various things that make young boys join the Navy, but there were other reasons as well.
Well, in those days, as you know, before the First World War I'm talking of, when the country wasn't at its best, it was an empire, and you knowing what an empire means to nowadays, but to find an occupation that would last you throughout life was very, very difficult. And I was unfortunate that my parents could have put me to a trade that my father followed, but unfortunately a brother that were older than I, he was apprenticed to it, so the family couldn't afford two apprentices in the trade. So I had to turn in other directions, and I thought, well, I think the services, which was then the army, was the fashion amongst the young folk in those days. I think it was the glitter of the uniform and all that the army meant in those days. But as I previously said, that the relatives were naval people, and I think their persuasion enabled me to make up my mind as to regard the Navy. But other than that, it wasn't a trade. It wasn't a trade, it wasn't even a calling. It was just something that, I don't think loyalty crept into it. It was just something that young people adventure, let's call it that.
And also, of course, it was a job with security and, I think, a pension.
Exactly. You knew where your next meal was coming from and your next wages. And also, you didn't have to worry about buying clothes, which was a big problem in those days. And on the whole, and the adventure of seeing the world, which they did in those days. They don't now, I believe. I believe you have a job to get aboard a ship nowadays. But I think that was the bottom of it. I don't think there was any other reason for the joining other than that it was a venture.
Father was a plumber, and
yes.
A master plumber.
Yes.
But only, as you say, only one boy could follow him, the oldest boy.
That's what he could afford, yes.
When, otherwise, you had to find other work. And your first job was in a newspaper shop. You
yes,
were
yes.
Message boy.
Delivering newspapers at the princely sum of 5 shillings per week. And the hours consisted of 8 in the morning till 8 at night and 10 o'clock on Saturday night, sometimes 11. And 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, that was your free time after 2 o'clock. It was very hard work. And those days, no one possessed a cycle, no firms, they couldn't afford them, so you walked it. I think I in the region of about 8 or 10 miles per day, I walked on the paper round. And, well, wet weather was one of those things that you got used to eventually, no coat or nothing like that, you just got soaked to the skin. I think I've used my newspaper bag more times as an overcoat than anything else.
And that was your first job on leaving school?
That was my first job, 5 shillings per week.
And then you went to the grocery trade,
I think. It dawned on me one day that I'd never become rich on the threepence that Mother gave me at the end of the week.
Out of your pay, out of your 5 shillings?
Out of the 5 shillings, see, so I couldn't let down my hair and pay on threepence. Although you could do a lot with threepence in those days, so you couldn't, it wouldn't count now. But I looked around, and of course in a small town like Bognor is, that there was very, very little scope. And the international stores opened up a new shop, and I applied, and much to my delight, I received it, and also that I doubled my wages from 5 shillings 100% to 10. So with that princely sum in mind there, mother gave me sixpence a week instead of three. So she gave me 100% rise. And from thence, I beginning to grow old and look around, there didn't seem to be any future at all in the town. I thought of London. I thought, what could I do? Where could I go in there? No. The friends that I were school friends, they all seemed to be joining the army, principally the army or the navy. And as I say, I chose the navy, and I'm very pleased I did. I had a wonderful life.
I think you said that you had three jobs altogether, one message boy, one at 10 bob a week.
Well, the other one was a grocer, just the same, so I didn't remark on that because it was much the same.
The 12 and 6 a week?
Yes, I got it. Yes, I forgot that. Another half a crown rise on that. But the redundancy came along and the firm wasn't doing so good, and me being the last one to be employed was the first one to go on the redundancy.
This redundancy was caused by the bigger combines coming into Bognor.
Exactly, yes. The international stores, the world stores, Lipton's, they all opened up in Bognor, and I think it affected the small grocer just as it does now.
And one of the things you said, which I thought was very nice, that even today, I mean, by this time you were becoming a well-trained grocer. You knew the trade and you were qualified.
Oh, yes, I liked the grocery trade very much. I was very greatly attached to it. I think I would have carried on, except for the First World War, if I hadn't been redundant.
And even today, you still like the smell?
I do. It's very nostalgic. Very nostalgic, a grocery shop. And incidentally, in passing there, so does a chemist. When I was a boy about 10, I remember getting a Saturday morning job. I don't think I lasted about two or three Saturday mornings at a chemist delivering medicines, which they used to in those days. And that seemed to hold attraction to me, a chemist shop, because that's just in passing.
And this then is about 1912, and you've had...
Before then, this would be,
But when you left the grocery trade?
Oh, yes, 1912.
1912,
I beg your pardon. Yes.
And you had been out of school about 3 years?
1912, yes, 3 years.
And you're now 16?
1908, I left school, 12 years of age, born in 96. Left school in 1908, and then I had 4 years, or three and a half years, really, of the newspaper plus grocery.
And before that, you hadn't thought too much about the Navy. It never came into your head
only that we were jealous when we saw some friend of ours had joined the services, but as I said, principally it was the soldiers, because of the uniform. In those days, it didn't have such thing as khaki. It was brilliant scarlet tunics and blue trousers, all sorts of things that were really garish.
And sailors didn't have that appeal among the public and among young boys as much as soldiers?
Well, yes. I think the sailor was the principal being. Girls preferred sailors to soldiers. Funny enough, why, I don't know.
But the soldiers, for the young boys, were more...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you go to the army, in fact, then? What happened to put you into the navy now, Alex?
Well, I can remember the day, as a matter of fact, that I did change my mind. And funnily enough, I pass it every day I'm going to go into the town. Just on the edge of the town is some cottages that were known, and are still known, as the Coast Guard cottages. And there used to be a Coast Guard station on the seafront at that time, those many years ago. And we were out, a friend of mine, boyfriend, and I don't know what we were out doing, but we saw outside of the chief officers of the Coast Guard aboard requesting you to join the Navy to make it a career. And we stood looking at this, and we saw that You could join at the age of 16, but you would become a boy trainee until the age of 18. And, well, we didn't know whether it was good, bad or indifferent, but funnily enough, in a few days afterwards, we met one of the boys that was at this training establishment, the boys' training establishment at Devonport, known as the Implacable. That was a, and I believe that was a real disciplined place. And
he told you that?
Yes, and I think it frightened me off. Otherwise, I think I would have joined up. And then, as I had previously told you, that my cousin, Chief Baker in the Navy, and also a leading seaman that was killed on the Black Prince in Jutland, told me a little more than I already knew about what to do and how to do it to get into the Navy and the advantages of the Navy above the Army. The gravel-crushing Army with iron boots and all that, little did I know that the Navy has such things. When you join the Naval Barracks, you're given a pair of iron-studded boots. And I think that was what absolutely made my mind up then. I went home and I said to my mother, I think I'll join the Navy. I think she looked at me as though, you know, that I was dissatisfied with the home or something. And we talked and talked, and well, I don't say far into the night, but with Father and that. And he said, well, if that's what you want, you do it.
Mother was a bit disappointed at first.
Well, yes, yeah, because I wasn't a wager, and then I got the sack then, or redundant, see, so I wasn't bringing home money, you see, and I felt it. I felt that I was a sort of a drone on the family budget. I had a younger sister, that she was at school, so, and just in passing, the older brother that was apprenticed to a plumber, he'd finished his apprenticeship as a plumber under Father, and he got the urge to go somewhere else to do what, I don't know. He finishes up at Dover in the coal mines, him and another local boy. As a matter of fact, he died just recently, the other boy. And the brother, of course, is dead. He's been dead 2 or 3 years. And we talked things over. And Father said, well, if that's what you want. So I decided there and then that is what I did want.
And you were, other than that, you make the point there and before, you were quite happy at home. It wasn't really an urge to get away from home.
Wonderful. It was a wonderful family circle. We often talk about it. We look back over the wonderful time that we had, even as children. We weren't rich and we weren't poor, the saying is, but we had things that were necessary to us in those days. It wouldn't be necessary in these days, I don't think, for the children. But we had a wonderful life. We were well brought up religiously and scholastically too in school. None of us were dunces. And we felt that we could face the world, you know, with some strength of purpose with what we'd gained at home. And of course, Mother was a great disciplinarian, and yet she wasn't really. She was a dear. Everyone loved her.
You were closer to Mother in a
way? More than Father, yes. Those days, Father used to go off, well, we didn't see him sometimes, at tour to the end of the week, because he used to go away so early in the morning and arrive home so late at night that we were invariably in bed when he arrived home, unless he came into the bedroom to speak or tell us to keep quiet or something like that.
He was a jobbing plumber, but did he have his own business?
No, he didn't, no, which we always said that he should have done with his trade. He had various places, for instance, far from church. They wouldn't have anyone else to do any work in there but him, and various other places.
You weren't exactly a poor family, but you weren't a wealthy one. You were different, you were above the poor, though.
Just a normal, well, at that time, Edwardian family, working family.
And working as opposed to not working.
Exactly, yes. There was plenty of people there that was poor and what they call lived on the parish. Got a small amount of money. There was no such thing as dole or supplementary stuff and all that, and what you got, if you hadn't got enough to eat, well, you applied to the parish, and if they thought you needed it.
But Father working kept you above that?
Yes, yes, and he did extra jobs. He was also in the fire service down there, you see, which... And he looked out to clean the engine down there, which gave him probably an extra half a crown a week. But on top of that, we never wanted for a thing. He grew his own vegetables, and it was a normal, happy life.
You remember it as a happy experience?
Oh, I do.
You were sad to leave it in that way.
If ever I had to live my life over again, I only hope it would be the same conditions.